Okay, so obviously Hanukkah, and I feel like last week I apologize for the mix-up in terms of when this year was. We did it after the second after second minyan. So we'll I'll give you a little Hanukkah at the end, but really we're going to focus on Parshas Mikates, a very meaty parsha, a lot to do. And we're sponsored this morning by Ricky Schatz in absentia, in memory of his mom, Miriam Bat Shmuel, her Nisham Shavan Aliyah. Okay, so the piece that we're going to see in the Kli Yakar is based off of these verbs that are used, that are very that have the same etymology, the you know, letters, very, very interchangeable. Vayakirim, Vayitnaker aleihem. Vayakirim, so Yosef sees his brothers, he recognizes them, Vayitnaker, but then made off as if he didn't recognize them. Vayakirim, Vayitnaker. Now it's important to note that this verb is found throughout the Joseph story, the whole narrative of Yosef, in terms of the brothers, when they try to hide his death, right, and or hide you know, the fact that they sold him, and they claim that he was killed. It says they dip his coat in blood, and they give it to their dad, and they say, "Haker na, dad, here, let us know, is this the coat that you gave to him? Haker na." Same language, and in the same vein, Yehuda, who's responsible for the sale, right? Let's sell him, right? Reuven says, let's throw him in the pit. Yehuda says, let's sell him. In the same vein, he has this episode with Tamar, right? The whole, lurid, this affair, and this and that, or whatever. And at the very end, towards the end of the episode, when they're about to prosecute Tamar for being unfaithful in terms of Yibum, as levirate marriage, to his youngest son, she says, "Here, to whom belong this cloak and this stick, right, and this seal, haker na? Do you recognize this?" Right? And then, so it starts there with Yaakov and the brothers, then it follows Yehuda, and now you have it, full circle, 22 years later, with Yosef. Vayakirim. So, Mashachaz v'amar she'nit vayakir Yosef et achav. So it says he recognized them, then it says vayit nakir aleihem, then it says he recognized them again. Lefi she'hakara rishona ka'i al tzurat p'neihem, she'yamakir mihema. Because the first time it says he recognized them, that was about just their faces. He recognized their faces. Like, wait a minute, I know these guys. The Hakar Shnia Koi Alin Yane Ha'achva V'Arachmanus. The second Hakara was about the fact that not just that he knows them, but about the fact that these are my brothers. And I got to figure this out, right? And it's these are my brothers, and then it's also, these are my brothers. Right, look at what they did to me, versus, the way that perhaps I have to react to them. Kipir Shrash. Uba'akeda perish, mitchila vayakirim, vayit nakir. The way the Akeda understands it is makir ve'eno makir. He recognized them, he saw them, he's like, I could swear, like, there's a resemblance here. I know these guys. And then once they say, "Oh, we're from, we're Canaanites," and, "Oh my God, wait, oh my God, it's my brothers." Right. So first he's kind of trying to place their faces, and then right, a lot of time has gone by, and then he recognizes. It's like one of those stories that you see of people. There was a recent story, it was like a year or so ago, I believe, where there was someone who was reunited. It was on YouTube, right? The brothers, long-lost brothers, that hadn't seen each other since the Holocaust. And they realized, they found, they thought they were dead, and they found they were alive. And, you have that initial, like, you're looking and you're placing, and then there's that big embrace, Here, it's the opposite, right? It's a looking and a placing, and then instead of an embrace, it's like, whoa, you guys did this to me. It's a whole different story. And Yosef, trying to figure out what to do now. Rabbi Ben Ezra Perish, Shemitchila Hayim Supak Mibra Uvei Mishimon. The Ibn Ezra said, no, the idea was that initially, it's like, again, he recognizes them, but he can't place, like, you know, who's who, right? Who's Reuven, who's Shimon? But once he started thinking about it more, he kirem hakara gemura miva mihalchim, he knew what was going on. It says, okay, let's get down into this. How do we understand this, right? Now that the way that Yosef interacts with him. Ma ra'a Yosef al-kacha l'tza'er David ve'rachav chinam. Why would he do this? Why would he do this? And notice, by the way, the first person he says that he's causing pain to is who? His father. Why would he do this to his father? And then why would he do it to his brothers, right? Like, why would he do this? You know, okay, you could think, oh, he's getting revenge. Come on. But forgetting it, revenge against his brothers, maybe I could understand. But he's also playing this game on his father. The Ramban is a famous perush, which says that what Yosef did was, he looked and it says that he remembered the dreams, right? The pasuk says, he remembered the dreams, right? It's korat ha-chalomot, right? And according to the Ramban, he wanted to recreate a scenario where everyone would come and bow down to him, right? And that was the dream. So he had to make it come to fruition, and he had to do it through these, you know, circuitous means. Let's you know, it's a nice way to say it. Okay. So he says, "In yirta Hashem de kiyuma, hema yitkaimu me'atzma v'yosef ma'pal." He goes, if God, you know, when we say "in yirta Hashem," I taught Andre a new phrase. He's very good at saying Baruch Hashem. I say, you know, you're going to do this. He goes, Baruch Hashem. I say, Andre, you need to learn a new phrase because you're using it wrong. I told him, Imirza Hashem. But most people say, Mirza Hashem, right? Mirza Hashem, Mirza Hashem. That's not the word, right? You know that, right? The word is, Im Yirza Hashem. If God wills it, right? Im Yirza Hashem. So what he's saying is, if God willed it, if God wanted it to happen, it would have happened, right? These are dreams, right? God, if God gave him the vision, it would have happened. So what is Yosef doing? So again, it goes back to his father, right? Because again, why wouldn't he just like race back to, hey, tell dad I'm alive. Oh my God, you know, he must be forlorn for 22 years. Yeah, you could go, you all been unshot, right? Well, maybe dad was in on it. That's a whole famous, more modern shot, right? And where Yosef perhaps harbors potential resentment against his father, or half, and then come looking for me, etc., etc. But that's not where we're going today. And he just says, like, if God, for whatever reason, didn't want their father to know that he was alive, that's what Hashem wanted. Therefore, God, this was part of God's plan, the 22 years of pain, of mourning, midah keneged midah, that it would be measure for measure. So Yosef's thinking to himself, how could he go ahead and reveal that which Hashem has concealed? That their father had to have this 22 years. What's the 22 years the father that Yaakov had to have? This is the amount of time that he was away from his own father, right? So there's a nida keneged nida keneged otan kapet shanim shlo kibitzes kibraveim. And only once those 22 years were over, so he was doing an accounting, and you know that's when he would reveal himself. Okay, so that's Yaakov. Okay, and what about what he did to his brothers? Asakol ze l'marek avonam b'mesh shemachru achihem v'gadol avonam. So what did he do? He wanted to orchestrate a full tshuva process, and he wanted them to be expiated for their sin. They had to go through something also, measure for measure. And he was in the position to be able to help that happen, right? So he was really orchestrating their atonement. Now the Barbanel says similar to this. Vinini mosi pal dvara, then I'm going to add on to their word, to his words. So here's what he says, and it's really beautiful. He goes through the entire story, and he tells you how each thing that happens to the brothers, or that Yosef kind of orchestrates to the brothers, or does to the brothers, meets out against them, it comes to a measure for measure, midah keneged midah, to wipe away, to counteract something they did. Ki alid rishon shel maragin matem, memareka avon shechashu es Yisrael maragel barachil erod ervarach echav. So initially, right, Yosef says, you guys are spies. What do you mean you guys are spies? Well, think about it. Early on in Yosef's life, what did the brothers, what did the brothers think that Yosef was doing? He was a tattletale to their father. That Yosef, you know, dibat echav el aviyem, right? He was telling on them, and they thought, and who knows how much he was telling on them, right? It's not clear. They thought he was really, like, all over it. And essentially, when it says, kibaboy alem dotaina, when he came to check on them in Dosan and Yerushem, ubeterami krav aleim v'gomer keim chashvushu ritzona li karev aleim uluragel maya asu echa kidei lachzor lahaviyezo diba le'aviv aleihem. They thought, you know, he was coming after them to spy on them. V'chol ragil gorei l'shvichas damim and v'chol rachil, and when you're a spy, you cause, that causes loss of life. L'vichak ubeterami krav aleim la'rogotam, that's why they said we're going to kill them. So, you know, they were coming, he was coming after them, they're going to come after him. Fine. So that's one. Miragli. Okay? Oh, you thought I was a miragil? Good, I'm going to think you're a miragil. One. Ulukach ne'amar, vayizkor tachalomot, kodim shamar aleihem miragli matem. That's why it says, he remembered the dreams before it says, you guys are, you're spies. L'fishinizkar shechalom lo, v'nei tisubena alumotechem. Because he remembered the dream that said that your sheaves will encircle me. Below porash ma'u asibu. What is this circle? Elavadai shesofam liot balilat miraglim ki kol miragel holechim nesabeve kol ha'ir lerod mehechan hi nochali kabeish raya mimashen nechnesu basar shari ha'ir kor v'aydei sibuv ze ishtachavu la'alumato shel Yosef ki avo balilat miraglim atem lerod erbat ha'aretz u'bezenit marike avon shechachvat Yosef. He quotes the mentors that says that they each went in. Their father told them that when you go into a town, go into a city, they're very big, strapping men. And people would think, that they're up to no good. So he would say, he said, go in on different entrances. So in a way, they went in on different entrances. Lisabe, vatisubena, alumotechem. They encircled, their sheaves encircled. Right, so in the same way, they were coming around as if they were spies, encircling the land, just like that's what a spy does, reconnaissance, right? I don't know, I'm not, you know, we should ask, where's Phil? We should ask Shlomo how to do it. I don't know how to do it, right? But you're doing reconnaissance, and that's what's happening here. And they thought Yosef was doing, now he gives it back. Fine. The fact that they threw Yosef into a pit. So what does it say? Vayesof otam el mishmar. He took them and put them in jail. Pirsh Rashi beit asurim dahainu bor. He threw them into a bor. By the way, we know that it was a bor because here Kemosh Nemar v'Yosef vayneu el beit hasoar. It says that they put him in jail right after Yosef was accused falsely with Potiphar's wife. V'Yosef amar ki samu oti babor. Yosef says, they threw me in a pit. He's talking about in Egypt, they threw me in a pit. And it actually says, when they, at the beginning of this week's Parsha, when when Paro needs Yosef out, right? It says they elevated him, they took him out. Basically, they took him up, right? They gave him a haircut, and they gave him new clothes, they took him up from the boar, right? So literally, they threw him into a pit, he throws them into a pit. Because it wouldn't be midah keneged midah if it was just some holding cell. And therefore it says that he took Shimon, right? That's an obvious one. We all know that one, right? Shlomo, he ends up sending the rest of them back, right? He gives them food for their father, right? But he keeps Shimon as a collateral. Shimon's obviously, Shimon's the one who took him and threw him in. Listen to this one. Remember, the brothers are having like flashbacks, and they're like, oh my God, we're guilty. Look at what we did. We didn't listen to the cries of our brother. And they're saying this 22 years later. Think about the guilt that they were living with. That's like real Jewish guilt, the original. They heard Yosef say, I fear God. And they started seeing the truth and how it was being laid out. Because he was actually a nice guy. He wasn't a terrible ruler. He wasn't a tyrant. Because they didn't know who he was. But he wasn't some Egyptian tyrant. He let them go. He said, oh, your elderly father must need some food in your household. Here, I'll let you guys go. And I'll just keep Shimon here. And you guys can go and feed your father, whatever. Because, therefore, they can't just say, oh my God, we have this tyrannical ruler, he's horrible, he's keeping, he's jailing all of us, whatever. They're seeing a bigger picture. Sharehu yirei Elohim, for he feared God, he was a decent man. Think about what they're thinking in their minds. They're putting two and two together, like, oh my God. How can you? I always say this in my house. My family makes fun of me. You can't make this stuff up. I always say this, right? That stuff, things happen in life, and they're just there. I don't believe in coincidence. You can't make this up. They're looking at him. They're like, wait a minute. Wait, he's letting us go, and Shimon's staying in this pit? He's the guy that, remember, he's the one that did this 22 years ago. Holy cow. This is wild, right? This, you can't make this up. Clearly, this is from God. This is just, the way things are happening. Therefore, they started confessing after they heard that he said, I fear God. But not when they were all thrown into the pit. Because again, that's just, could be chalked up to he's a tyrannical, Egyptian guy that's suspicious of us. Because they really saw in that space, face to face, eye to eye, that this is happening, right? This is midik negativ. The whole gavia thing, right? Which is the end of the parsha where he plants the. That's an obvious one. He plants the Befer in the coast in Binyamin's sack. Oh, good. We're all going to be slaves. We sold him as a slave. And when they tell Yaakov everything that happened, Amar, in Kane Epo Zodasu. And he says, if this is the case, Yaakov says, right, this is what you should do. Ma'ul Lashon Epo, like if this is what's going on. If you're being like dealt with measure for measure for whatever happened, this is not just some happenstance, but rather this is coming about through God's hand. Zodasu says this, therefore, when you go back to Egypt, he says, I want you to bring these things, these species, spices and things back to Yosef. Because if you remember, the Yishmaelim that they initially sold him to were spice tradesmen, right? So he's saying, here, use these species. What's the problem with this?
Yaakov
didn't know. Good. So the Kliyakar picks up and says, Kadesha Yidei Moshel Zayit Mare Kola Avon. Here, I'm going to help in this, kapara process. The Afal P, says the Kliyakar. She Yaakov lo yada mina mechira. Right? But you're right. Yaakov didn't know. Even though Yaakov didn't know about it, Mikom Akam Ruach Hashem Diber Bo Lahavi Mincha Mina Mina. Something sort of propelled him to say, here, you should bring these spices and so on. Ve'el Shaddai yitein lachem rachamim, ki bazeh yidmareke avon shlo natnu rachamim la'achiyem v'yitchanano alihem. And therefore, and then Yaakov finishes up and says, and may God have mercy on you, essentially, may God have mercy on your souls, because that would fully expiate the sin, because again, they didn't have mercy on their brother when he was crying out to them. And I think, so this is sort of, it comes full circle, right? And you see this sort of this midah keneged midah measuring out, but you also see sort of the Yad Hashem playing out in their lives as well. And I think this is very apropos to the whole concept of Chanukah, of what really what Chanukah is about, whereby the Chashmonaim, as they come into the Beis Hamikdash, and they want to light, you know, they want to light the menorah, and all of a sudden you have this miracle, which is like it was past the time of quote miracles, right? You didn't have miracles like this anymore, and that's the reason why we actually celebrate this. And even though it's really not the greatest, look at the history of it. It's kind of like literally a blip in time. It goes from bad to worse under the Chashmonaim. They're like, they're almost like regular Greek rulers, ones that's, you know, assassinating the father by the son and the this. It's actually terrible. And it leads to real subjugation. And it's really, they're in exile, literally, even in their own land. But there's this just one blip, this one sort of ray of hope, which was supposed to show, because again, it was after the time of miracles, it was after the time of Nebuah, after the time of prophecy, and yet, in the very same way, the rabbis instituted that even though, like, well, it's just not good, but there's this one seven-day space of time, right? There's one seven-day ray of light that says, no, we're going to say Hallel with a bracha during this time. It's really fascinating how that came about. But I think the idea was because it showed that even though we're really in a bad way, we're Hellenizing before, and then we just become, it goes from bad to worse after that, and it really just leads, this Hanukkah story just leads to the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, because it's not good. Right? What? Yeah. It's just terrible. And so again, you'd ask yourself, well, why does this matter? But it matters because it showed, at least for that brief instant, right, that Hashem still cares. That Hashem is still there, right? And then, you know, 200 years later, the Christians are going to say, nah, you broke the Testament. It's over. Old Testament, New Testament. Hashem doesn't care about you anymore. You're done. You're damned. You're gone, right? And people really dealt with that, right? After the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, that was something that was really dealt with. But the idea of Hanukkah was that, no. Yeah, we have a menorah in the only Beis HaMikdash. No more. We're going to have Chanukiyot throughout our homes, and we're still going to be lighting these candles for 2,000 years later. Why? To show that Hashem does still care, that there is Hashkafa, that Hashem, that even when things are bad, and even when things are bleak, and even when we're not doing what we're supposed to be doing, Hashem still remains very much part and parcel of our lives. And ultimately, it's a beautiful thing to sort of recognize, right, that the symbol of ultimately the symbol of the state of Israel is going to be a menorah, which again, it's not perfect, right? But it shows Hashem has hashkafa in our lives, just as the brothers realized it, you know, after 22 years of really of wandering and dealing with guilt. Mirtz Hashem, we should carry that message with us and pass it on from generation to generation. Shkoyach, everyone.